Hello, friends. It's time for the News Talk 94.9 WSJM Morning Announcements with yours truly, Jim Gifford, and my partner in crime, Spencer Rivers. Brought to you by the good people at Special Light Indicator in Benton Harbor. And there is a good chance that you have walked through a special light door when you go into a local restaurant or visit a school or a store or walk into a manufacturing plant. So thank you to Special Light Indicator in Benton Harbor and enjoy your morning announcements.
The car said 31 coming in. The studio says 32. Weather Watcher Tony is reporting 28 out in the SOTUS area this morning. So that's what we will draw from as we begin things here on Thursday morning.
Frosty morn.
Sing it over and you sing it over again.
Frosty morn.
The height of a piggy's ambition from the day he is born is hope that he'll be good enough to be a frosty morn.
It is indeed a frosty morn. That actually is a a cartoonish version of an old TV commercial for Frosty Morn Hams. So, Frosty at my house. There was frost on the garbage can this morning. Did you have frost at your house and or on the windshield?
Well, first, I changed the or checked the furnace filter in the basement last night, and I turned the furnace off at the furnace so I could take a look at the filter, but I neglected to turn the furnace back on.
That seems like an improper procedure.
It does, especially when you get up in the morning and it's in the low 60s in the house. And then I went down the basement, turned the furnace on, and then I went out to the car, and I'm either out of windshield wiper fluid or the washer is not working, so that was...
Man. By comparison, my morning's been perfect.
Yeah. Well, you know, the windshield wiper fluid gets the frost off the windshield, and so luckily I had a bottle of it in the back of the car, so I just poured it on the windshield.
Nice. Nice. Yeah, well, I had no furnace issues. Car was in the garage, so I didn't have any problems there. And like I said, my only contact with frost this morning was the garbage cans, which had frost.
Well, I'm not as well-to-do as you are, so I'm...
What kind of garbage cans you got?
Best Way.
Me too. Well, it is a little frosty this morning, and Carrie's forecast even included some freezing fog in it.
I didn't see any of that.
That sounds dangerous, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Like it might crack and crackle as you drive through it or something.
Did you see the moon this morning? It's great.
Yeah, low hanging in the eastern sky and just a little cradle or breadbasket of a moon hanging up there.
Right. And below it was Venus.
I did not see that. I don't know if that's below the tree line for me or what, but I did not see that. So there you go. Yeah, it was a beautiful morning for stargazers today. And in page one of your morning announcements here on the 12th of November, the deer are on the move.
Oh.
I don't know if you've seen any, but no. I have. And I talking to people, did you see that? And I saw this, and there were deer over there, and boy, good-sized buck. And, you know, I have four or five doe crossing the street, and... I've seen not only several live ones, but a number of roadkill as well. So, you know, laying in ditches alongside the road. I actually saw a pickup of one of those a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm trying to think of who it was. Might have been Lincoln Township. Hmm. Somebody out there with a pickup, but a couple of guys dragging a carcass out of a ditch there. And I don't know what they do with them after that. But I saw on that next door... whatever it is, kind of social media, local social media thing.
Oh, yeah, I'm on it.
Somebody asking, hey, I got a dead deer in my front yard. I'm frustrated. I keep calling people and nobody can help me. So I don't know if that person ever resolved that issue or not. And I'm not sure. I think you just call your local governmental outfit and they can direct you to who picks that up. The sanitation department or I don't know who picks them up.
I don't know.
Or what they do with them. You know, I don't think the, you know, the grocery stores pick them up. Maybe in other parts of the country they do, but I don't, around here, I don't think they do, to the best of my knowledge. So, anyway, there is that. So, frosty morning here. Hey, let me put something to rest right here. Now, do you remember not too long ago when there was that big hullabaloo over who had the better chicken sandwich, Popeyes or Chick-fil-A?
Mm-hmm.
To that point, and even until yesterday, I had never tried the Popeyes chicken sandwich. I've tried the Chick-fil-A, and so I couldn't compare. Well, I did finally try the Popeyes, and between you, me, and the fence post, Chick-fil-A wins hands down.
Really?
For me, yeah. And I don't know if I got a bad one or what, but it...
we've always had good chicken sandwiches at Popeyes.
I did not like the one I had yesterday.
Well, for Pete's sake.
I'll take a Chick-fil-A over a Popeyes anytime. Well,
where is the Chick-fil-A?
That's the problem. There isn't one. So you got to drive. I don't know, I assume Kalamazoo has one, but otherwise you're going to drive to South Bend or maybe Michigan City. I don't know. Huh. But anyway, so there is that. And just lay that to rest and lay it out there for whatever it's worth. Also, here this morning, a quick weather note. This hurricane or tropical storm Eta, ETA, apparently is hitting Florida for the fourth time.
Oh, no.
And it keeps bouncing back and forth between tropical storm and hurricane, depending on, you know, how powerful it is. But now, apparently, it's pounding the hell out of the Tampa area or north of Tampa with heavy, heavy rains and lots of flooding and that kind of stuff. It's hit the state of Florida four times.
My goodness.
So that thing needs to make up its mind and get on out of here. Let me give you a quick election 2020 news recap, and I'll start you with something that we touched on the other day, and this was this postal worker in Erie, Pennsylvania, who claimed that he had witnessed his postmaster post-dating some ballots so that had come in late, but he was putting, you know, an earlier postmark on them so that they could be, or would be counted.
Mm.
He then, according to the Washington Post, recanted that story and said that he made it up. And then he popped up on, I don't know where I saw it, Twitter somewhere, a video he posted saying, "I did not recant the story." But on the other hand, he did not say that it didn't happen or that it did happen. And he says, "You'll know tomorrow," which is supposed to be today. And then USA Today is reporting he insists he did not recant his story about co-workers backdating mail-in ballots. But his version of events is not consistent with the facts, that according to USA Today. And I'm still waiting here today to find out what the next version of that story is. So what a mess. I mean, there's apparently somebody, social media is blaming it on the Republicans, but I don't know if that's true or not. But somebody apparently started a GoFundMe deal for this guy. I'm not sure why. If he needs legal representation or what, but they raised like $130,000 for this guy.
Did he lose his job?
That I don't know. Mm. He was apparently afraid that he might.
He should have kept his mouth shut.
I don't know if he did or not, but what a mess. This whole election fraud thing is just turned into an absolute zoo. To that end, here's your election 2020 news recap. The president meeting with top election advisors as Joe Biden's lead is actually increasing in states that he has been declared the winner. Michael Cohen, you remember him, Trump's old lawyer that went to jail. I don't know if he's still in jail or not. Anyway, he predicted the president will not return to the White House after Christmas at Mar-a-Lago. So, for whatever that's worth. And then there's a Mississippi Republican calling for his state to, and apparently since this is in quotes from the Washington Post, it's the way he spelled it and put it. Mississippi Republican calling for his state to succeed from the union.
Oh, boy.
After the Biden victory. Not secede, but succeed from the union after of Biden victory. White House aides are telling news sources on the down low that the president may accept the outcome of the election without conceding. Whatever. What does that mean? I don't even understand any of this anymore. Georgia's Secretary of State has ordered a hand recount of ballots there. Joe Biden leads by about 14,000 votes across the entire state. And I guess at that percentage, that automatically triggers the recount. I don't know what a hand recount means. I mean,
I don't know. You have to look at them by hand, I guess. I don't know.
I don't know why that's better than putting them through the machine. Well, what, they look at it and then what, chalk it up with a pencil on a legal pad? I don't understand what that's all about. But anyway, there's going to be a recount there. Alaska was called by most news outlets for President Trump, which gave him three more electoral votes. Texas's lieutenant governor down there is offering to pay up to $1 million for fraud tips. I don't know where that $1 million is coming from. Maybe he's got some extra cash laying around. In Pennsylvania, just 10,000 mail-in ballots received after Election Day. The GOP suing to keep them from being counted, but Mr. Biden currently holds an insurmountable lead in that state, according to Politico. So there's kind of your Election 2020 roundup here on the, what are we now, a full a week and a couple days after the election, and nothing is resolved as yet. All right, let's move into our first ever ignorant old man segment.
You don't have to talk about me now.
No. I will be playing the part of the ignorant old man in this scenario. And I may be one, and I certainly am in certain respects. But even if I am, I don't understand why Michigan's top court has to deal with a fight over public funding for private schools. You are a private school, so you don't have to adhere to state education mandates, is my understanding. You remain private by not taking public funds. If you then take public funds, have you not defeated your purpose? Again, I could be an ignorant old man in this regard. And I'll admit to being a surface scratcher on this when I yammer on and on about context and so on and so forth, and I don't know all of the specifics on this. But on the surface, to this potentially ignorant old man, that doesn't make any sense to me. But it is before the Michigan Supreme Court, a public funding for private schools, and we'll see where that goes. Now, also in page one of your morning announcements, your COVID update, Spectrum Health's hospital system expected to reach capacity within days, with the number of coronavirus hospitalizations climbing at an alarming pace across the state. This from their CEO and president there, saying, "We are facing some of the most daunting and demanding challenges since this pandemic began." That's Tina Friis-Decker in an online press conference with reporters the other day. 289 people hospitalized for COVID-19, and this is across the Spectrum network of hospitals. There's 14 of them across the region, including of course, Spectrum Lakeland. But 289 people hospitalized in their 14 hospitals. Hospitalizations for the deadly disease have tripled in the past 20 days, 8 times higher than they were in September, and more than 3 times higher than in the spring when the pandemic began. I'm going to dive into this a little deeper at 8:40. I talked briefly yesterday with a reporter from MLive who did an in-depth report on what they called chaos, fear, and tears at Mercy Health in Muskegon. They have been just ravaged by COVID-19 at that particular facility in Muskegon. She did an in-depth report on that, and I'm going to share that with you. So you can kind of understand why this you're hearing this constant harangue from about following a recommended COVID protocol, because it's a mess there. We're trying to prevent it from happening everywhere. So that's coming up. That's page one of your morning announcements. We'll leave you on that happy note. It is a frosty morning on News Talk Sports 94.9 WSJM. I suspect if you're any kind of a fan of Irish-American folk music, you might recognize that as Cold Frosty Morning. But for the rest of us, it's just some banjo picking. That's Dave Hum, by the way. It is a cold, frosty morning. Page 2 of your morning announcements here at 6:42 on WSJM. And we'll start you with a little story here about from the mother, necessity is the mother of invention file. Which begs the question right off the back, if necessity is the mother of invention, who's the father? Have we ever considered that?
I don't think so.
Would it be prosperity? Is prosperity the father of invention?
Could be.
Opulence? Is opulence the father of invention? No one's ever discussed that or looked into it, as far as I know. Regardless, necessity is the mother of invention, and here's a perfect example of that. This comes to us out of Northville, Michigan, which, if you check it on the map, is somewhere about halfway between Ann Arbor and Farmington Hills. So, financially, a really struggling area of the state. I'm kidding. this apparently is a very popular Michigan downtown there. And what they're doing is pulling together something called a heat in the street experiment to try to help restaurants and shops survive the winter months during the ongoing coronavirus pandemic, because while we this morning are worried about a little frost on the windshield or the pumpkin or any other stationary object outside, businesses, in particular restaurants who've been relying on outdoor seating, are starting to really worry, especially with the COVID numbers rising. What are we going to do? Well, this is the story of a business owner there in conjunction with the Northville Downtown Development Authority. His name is Manfred Schoen. He has an outfit called Up to Go. It's kind of like a like one of those business incubators or one of those shared workspace kind of things where, you know, like entrepreneurs and different work-at-home people get together and share space. He's got that kind of a thing going. Apparently, he's doing pretty well. He has decided with his with the help of this development authority to build heated stands and pods throughout the streets of Northville. And they'll start popping up in the coming days and weeks. Should be up through early March. And he, Mr. Schoen, is from Germany and says he grew up with these kind of outdoor markets and structures. And where he's from in Germany, he said they took a different approach to winter, which is embracing it instead of, you know, trying to keep it out. So they're going to try and do this, and he apparently has been doing all the fundraising on his own. He's raised $100,000 so far. Going to be two different types of heated structures there. Restaurants will use food stands to serve some of their dishes, and there will be heated dining pods where visitors can stay warm. And each of those pods with high-top tables and a room of 4 to 6 people. So,
interesting.
Yeah, I think it's going to be interesting to watch, because apparently we are unable to deal with the notion of not going out to eat. So, cook at home? What? Are you nuts? So, and that's become a real problem in this effort to tamp down the COVID-19, because with each little bit that we relax regulations, more people go out. They relax a little bit more in these gathering settings, like restaurants and certainly bars and that sort of stuff. And now it's all snowballing, and it's not helping. So I guess if we can't deal with that issue of just being of staying home and you know, eating everything that says Stouffer's on the label, then this guy's going to see what he can do to help, at least in this one town of Northville. I don't know whether there's any lessons we can take from that here in our neck of the woods or not. By the way, does the neck of the woods connect the head of the woods with the shoulder of the woods?
I'm not sure, but I know we're not out of the woods yet. So, what's so bad about being in the woods, you know? It's like people say, oh, you're going to get in hot water. Well, so what? I take a bath, you know?
Guess it depends on how far in the woods you are or how hot that water is.
I guess so, yeah.
Everything's in perspective, friends. And we continue with page two of your morning announcements. Hey, I came across a really interesting follow-up story to the anniversary of the sinking of the Edmund Fitzgerald. You want to hear it?
Yeah.
I don't know how familiar you are with the history of the Edmund Fitzgerald, but we pretty much all know that it went down November 10th of 1975. All 29 crew members died in that. Are you familiar with the name Arthur Anderson? Arthur M.
Yeah,
Anderson.
Yeah, the ship that followed.
Yeah, the companionship
right.
That was trailing behind it and actually was the last to have communications with the Fitzgerald and actually led the efforts to go back and see if there was anybody to be rescued, which, as it turns out, there were not, obviously. But it was still very active for years after that. It was decommissioned for a little while to, I assume, for maintenance and so on and so forth. But it was recommissioned, I think, 2 or 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And it's back out of the Great Lakes. And ship watchers, I guess that's a thing, have been intrigued by this and have been just kind of keeping tabs on it. And, you know, how's the Arthur M. Anderson doing and that sort of thing. Earlier this week, social media took up the fact that the Anderson was heading upbound through the Sioux and was crossing Lake Superior on Tuesday's anniversary of the sinking of the Fitzgerald.
Wow.
And on its way to Duluth, Minnesota, and just toss in the fact, if you'll remember back a couple of days, the National Weather Service had issued gale warnings for Lake Superior mm-hmm. on that day and a winter storm warning for the Duluth area. And here comes the Arthur M. Anderson sailing through all that again.
Wow.
Not unlike 1975. So these ship watchers were tracking the Anderson with a lot of interest, as you might imagine. It did arrive in Duluth late on Tuesday, and it was snowing so hard when it got there. They had to make two attempts to get it's a 776-foot cargo freighter. Two attempts to get it into port. It was snowing so hard, and the weather was so nasty there, according to the National Weather Service. So 45 years apart, the SS Arthur M. Anderson making it across Lake Superior again through gale warnings and winter storms and so on and so forth. So there's apparently videos and photos out there of its arrival if you want to go searching for that.
I think that ship is like 68 years old now, if I recall.
I believe you're probably right in the little bit of reading I've done on that. But I just thought, what a fascinating follow-up to that, that this ship that gained notoriety just because of its proximity to a disaster was back in the news 45 years to the day after that. Now, here on the home front, let me ask you this. Have you ever run into Tom Ernsting when you've been up in South Haven?
Oh, I can't say that I have.
You even have any idea who Tom Ernsting is?
I do not.
All right. He is in trouble.
Uh-oh.
This is a weird story. He's got a place in South Haven, but I guess he winters in Naples, Florida. He retired early from whatever he was doing before. But he is, I mean, he's like 60 years old, but he has been, and I think may even still be, a male model.
Oh.
Handsome individual. Mm-hmm. Got a picture staring at me right here, and he's just he's a handsome man. But that has caused grief for him because people are using his picture in various online scams saying, this is me, you know, I kind of need some help, send me some money and that kind of stuff. And he says he's had women yelling at him and screaming at him for ruining their lives. He says one woman claims she handed over her credit card information to him, and then he racked up $30,000 in charges. Others upset that they sent him $500 to help him get across the border into the United States so that he could travel to see them, but he never showed up. He says it's absolutely crazy, and this is all because as a male model, he does have an online presence.
Oh, sure.
Instagram and this and that, and people are just taking his photo and passing it off as themselves. Here's me. Oh, send me some money. So he says, now sometimes he's recognized in public and people are just yelling at him because they think he is a scam artist that ripped them off.
Oh, dear.
And it's not him. It's just a picture of him being used by other scammers. So if you're in the South Haven area and you know Tom Ernsting, wish him well. I guess he's still modeling at 60 years. In fact, I think it was a late in life kind of change in careers. He retired from whatever he was doing before and picked this up because he's just got that look of a handsome aging man. Is 60 middle aged? It's beyond middle aged, isn't it?
I guess.
If we're middle aged, we'd all be living to 120.
Yeah.
So, you know. A handsome senior. Let's go with that. Mm-hmm. Right?
Well,
so.
That's something you should pursue, I think.
Yeah, I'm going to get into that. And I've got the face for radio, so we're okay there. So anyway, he's got about 150,000 followers on Instagram. but because he just looks the way he does, people go, "Hey, if I use this guy's picture, I may get some poor sucker to send me some money." And there are apparently enough poor suckers that have fallen prey to that. Mm. So I guess the word is don't be a poor sucker. And to wrap up page two of your morning announcement, here's today's "This Definitely Needs Further Examination" headline. And the headline is, "Bears Shot Dead on Russian Nuclear Submarine."
Oh, dear.
Why on earth, you might ask, would there be bears on a nuclear submarine? Even if it is Russia, where apparently bears run rampant, or at least are common. The Russian Navy defending the shooting of a mother bear and its cub on a nuclear submarine after there were all kinds of outrage on social media. Apparently somebody put up the video of them actually shooting this bear.
No.
I don't know why the bear was on the sub. Unclear, really, as to why it was there. It was obviously in dock, but unclear when the shooting happened. In the video, the animal is seen falling into the water after being hit by a bullet, and a male voice is heard saying the animals would have gone to local villages had they just been driven away from the submarine. That's an adventuresome bear, isn't it? Maybe he was teaching his young one play your cards right. Maybe you can, sail off and into the wild, or into the ocean here for the Russian Navy.
Hmm.
Just who sees a bear on a submarine?